Well, good morning, saints. And good morning, sinners. I invite you to take your Bible and turn to the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, which means the beginnings, and turn to the 25th chapter, beginning with verse 19. Genesis 25, beginning with verse 19 and following, as we look for a few brief moments at the topic, don't sell your birthright. Don't sell your birthright. I invite you to stand for the reading of God's Word. Hear now the Word of God from this first book. The drama of redemption began in chapter 12 with the calling of Abraham. And now we read this. This is the account of the family line of Abraham's son Isaac. Abraham became the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean from Padan Aram, and sister of Laban the Aramean. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was childless. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. The babies jostled each other within her, and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger." When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first came out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment. So they named him Esau. After this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel, so he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. The boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was content to stay at home among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, famished. He said to Jacob, "Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished." That is why he was also called Edom. Jacob replied, "First, sell me your birthright. Look, I am about to die," Esau said. "What good is that birthright to me?" But Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. Almighty God, open our hearts even deeper right now to receive, Lord, this word from Scripture. May we examine our hearts. May we order our life according to your word as directed by the Spirit. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. This is a very curious passage of Scripture. Let's make sure that we have the story down. Abraham has died. Who will come next? Well, we have Isaac, and we know that he is wed to Rebekah. They desire children. So Isaac prays to God Almighty, and Rebekah becomes pregnant. While the children were in her womb, they jostled and they wrestled with each other. So Rebekah inquires of the Lord, asking, "Why is this happening to me?" And God answers that within her womb there are two nations. Two different people groups will emerge, and the younger one will be the dominant one. So, next we have the birth itself, where Esau emerges from the womb first. And because he is hairy and red, they name him Esau. And the next to emerge is Jacob, the younger, grasping at the heel. So he is called Jacob. And then the text says, curiously, that Rebekah favored Jacob and Isaac favored Esau. And then we go forward in the story to see that one day Jacob is cooking some stew, and Esau comes in from the country. He's the skilled hunter. Jacob is more of the shepherd who stays among the tents. And because Esau is so hungry, he is willing to give up his birthright in order to get one bowl of lentil stew, granted without meat. He's even deceived there. And with bread. And he despised his birthright. Now, what are we to gain from this? What is Word of God in this for us today? I maintain there are three things, and very quickly they are this. Number one, already in Genesis, we're seeing that in God's economy, there is a reversal of expectations. In God's way of doing things, the last shall be first. Society may say the older holds the place of seniority and importance, but God comes along and reverses the expectations. That says to me this, that in God's way of doing things, you're never overlooked. Secondly, things are never as they look on the surface, for God is a God of countercultural. And lastly, it says to me that you and I are never forgotten, never overlooked. So, wherever you are, if you seem forgotten, overlooked, left out, keep on keeping on, because God is one who reverses expectations. Number two, in this story we see that conflict is inevitable. Conflict is inevitable. You and I long for a day when there will be no conflict here on earth. But this story, early on in the biblical witness, tells us that conflict is inevitable, even at the family level. For there was conflict between two brothers, Jacob and Esau. There was conflict between parents. One parent favored one child, another parent favored the other child. But even in this text, we see there is a broader and more significant conflict, political, social, national, and even international. For these two brothers, Jacob and Esau, are ancestors of two nations, Israel and Edom, that will be at war with each other. Now, here's the truth. If conflict is inevitable, The counter to that is this, that God is still at work, even through all this mess, our mess, God is still on the move. Now, lastly, in light of those two things, don't sell your birthright. Now, in that day and age, a birthright meant this, that the firstborn would receive a double share of the inheritance. It also meant that the father's promise of blessing went to the firstborn. Now, each of the children would receive blessing, but a preeminent blessing would go to the oldest. So we see in this text that out of a fit of hunger, Esau gave up his birthright that would affect his life from that day forward. For the believer, don't sell your birthright. Don't forget who you are. God wants to bless us. God wants to give us a rightful spiritual inheritance, but sometimes we put God out and we put the world front and center and we forfeit the blessings that we could have. Don't ever let the momentary promises of this world eclipse the joy that God has waiting for each of us. This past week, you have been a sermon to me on how to live out your birthright. Throughout this past week, Monday through Friday, we had the Better Skills basketball camp. Pickens County Board of Disability, 56 campers, the largest camp to date, met on our campus. And you were there serving food. We provided a meal for them, pizza, and they did eat. And then on Friday, they had their championship basketball game. I asked if I could play, because I felt more at home with them than I do with a lot of other people. So we divided up into two teams. And the coach on my team said, "Do you want to be first string or second?" I said, "Second." And then the team said, "I want to be second. I want to be second. I want to be second." Whew. Everybody clamoring to be number one. And the last shall be first. They've taught me that. For I have seen them in ball games when the opposing team scores, the team who was scored upon start doing this. They start clapping for them because they realize that ultimately we're on the same team. Let me tell you another way that I've seen the birthright being lived out in our church. On Tuesday of this week, a precious couple, Ty and Melody, called me and told me of a situation of a couple who had been dating in another city, and the young lady was pregnant and was contemplating an abortion. Ty and Melody were not judgmental. They were brokenhearted. He began trying to get in contact with me early afternoon, and it was evening time around 8 when I finally was able to make contact with them. And he said, John, I think she's going to begin the process tonight. I think she is. What do we do? And we discerned that we should get together and talk. I called our chair of deacons and I called Rick and I put out feelers out. I said, please be praying. Please, for God's sakes, be praying. And we met at Ty and Melody's home on Tuesday night. At 10 o'clock, a little after 10, the young man and young woman walked into the home. Ty and I talked about we could come up with a well-ordered plan and work it out to where she would feel manipulated, and we knew she felt vulnerable. And so we began like this. Tell us about yourself. Please, she said, what do you want to hear? I said, anything that you want to tell. And she began telling about the death of her father who ripped her world apart. She began telling about her mother being sick. And she went on and on and she said, I can't stand the thoughts. I cannot stand the thoughts of bringing a child into this because of what I have experienced as a hell on earth. And then we began to share our story. And I told the story of Donna and I longing for a child for 14 years and how a beautiful and courageous birth mother went the full term and we have our 19-year-old son because she chose life. We talked about how God made us and how God gives pregnancy of 9 months, so it gives parents and those expecting time to think so we don't act irrationally. We talked about she may even one day decide to keep her child. And then Ty chimed in and he said this. He said, I work with a man that years ago opted for abortion. And Ty didn't judge that person, but he told this. He said, every day, especially on special occasions, he will say something like this. If my child had lived, she would have graduated from college today. 22 years later, the reality of abortion still looms heavily upon that man's heart. I shared about my mother as a nurse when she would talk about the ramifications. It's not merely something you do and move on with your life. There are ramifications. Oh, I felt your prayers that night. Ty and Melody felt your prayers. Melody said, I'll go with you, ma'am. I will go with you to every doctor's appointment. I will go with you. I will be with you. All the Spirit of God was in that place. And then she said this. She said, I don't want to abort. I want to choose life. Do you know how that visit came about? Because Ty worked with this young man, employed him for 7 months, and then he moved on to another job that paid more. But because of Ty's influence, when the going got tough, he didn't call a minister. He called his former employer and said, I've got to get real with you. And then the story went on from there. Don't sell your birthright. And then each of us is aware of what's happened in our community recently. Did you ever think these would be the headlines? Two dead in a highway shooting. This is Saturday during July. And then a baffling tragedy. Police worked to understand incident that left four dead. A woman shot another woman in downtown Greenville on Thursday. Then she shot herself and her two children, ages 9 and 4, about to turn 5, ages 9 and 4 in Pickens County. But we were involved in this. Our own John Hendon, WYFF photojournalist, Emmy Award winning, was on his way home from work. He knew that this story was about to emerge and was emerging. He knew that this woman who had shot another woman was heading with her two children into Easley. And do you know what John Hendon did? He began to pray that God would lead him to that woman and those children. That's what he was praying. He knew there would be one of three routes that she would come home. And in his prayer, God led him to come Highway 124. And there was the vehicle. And there, John got out and got near the vehicle, hoping against all hope. How do you pray during crisis times? That God would take you safely away, or that God would take you right in the midst of the battle? Don't sell your birthright. We're required to be in the midst of the battle. And then who would have known that the principal of the 9-year-old, and if the 4-year-old had have lived, this child as well, was our own Darren Bird. Now, when you hear Darren talk, he's principal, but he's also minister of the Word of God. He loves Jesus Christ. And when I talk with him, the struggle in his soul, what do we do, John? They've not released yet about the children being involved. And yet our teachers are hurting. Our families are hurting. Our children are hurting. What do we do? These are the type of people we have in our midst. Don't sell your birthright. If there's a battle, run to it. Don't run away from it. And so do you know what this principal who loves Jesus is going to do on Monday? He's called a faculty meeting. And I'm one of several, no doubt, that he's invited. And he's asked me to address hope. Hope. And guilt. Because those precious teachers are wondering, why didn't we see this? Don't sell your birthright. Live up to your name. Almighty God, it's been a week. And Lord, I was so happy on Tuesday that I could go home late at night and see my wife and see my son and to look into our son's eyes and say, son, your story may have saved a life. Because I know when you're adopted, sometimes you wonder, why did the birth mother, why did the birth father give me up? But there's a story, a larger story that we cannot see, isn't it? And just maybe one of the reasons was so that a beautiful 23-year-old would go full term with her child. Lord, I thank you for John Hendon. I thank you for Darren Bird. I thank you for Sylvia Smith in the basketball camp for better skills. I thank you that all around us we're living up to our birthright. But Lord, we got a battle on our hands and conflicts are looming everywhere. And we want to give up, but we can't because you're working even in the midst of the conflict. We love you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I guess what I'm saying here today is there is a grace in our midst that is greater than all our sins. There is a Jesus who is waiting. I tell you, why not come to the altar and pray? Our world's hurting. Our society is hurting. You may be hurting, but there's hope. There's hope. There is hope. You see, hope is a picture of the future that sets in motion the power of the present. When you know that even in the midst of conflict, God is alive and God is on the move, that's the picture. So we can keep hope alive. We can keep moving on. I want to invite you to respond today. It may be to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It may be to rededicate your life. It may be for some other reason whatsoever. I'm asking you to stand up and step out and tell Satan where to go. Take Jesus' hand and come to the altar. Come to the altar. Go deeper with Jesus Christ. Let's stand and let's sing.